Let me invite you to open your Bibles tonight to James chapter 1. And I want to ask you a question as we start. How many of you would consider yourself to be a religious person? On a scale of 1 to 10, how religious are you? James addresses this very question in terms not of our knowledge, how much we know, but in terms of how much we do. Listen to what it says here again in James chapter 1, down in verses 26 and 27. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James defines religion, true religion, pure religion, acceptable religion, in three areas. He says it's seen in how we speak. It's seen in how we care for those who are in distress and need. And thirdly, it's seen in how we live our lives purely in a world that's very impure. This second area of Christian living is the one we want to look at in these next few moments. He talks about looking after orphans and looking after widows in their distress. And those who do that as Christians, he describes as those that are involved in religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless. I really appreciated, Don, your prayer as you prayed for children in this nation and around the world. I had no idea until I did a little bit of research this week of the number of children who live on this planet tonight who have neither a mother nor a father to turn to. According to the most recent statistics, there are 18 million children who fall into this category. Scripture is literally filled with both warnings about the mistreatment of such children and encouragements to help the fatherless. Listen to just a few of the many that are contained in Scripture. Back at the very beginning, the book of Exodus, chapter 22, God says, "You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child." In the book of Deuteronomy, there in the middle of the law, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and for the widow." And in Psalm chapter 68, that beautiful passage, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families." And then in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, Isaiah said, "Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the widow's cause." You know, as I mentioned at the beginning, we have a number of families here at Sunset who have in the past adopted children and brought them in to be part of their family and their home. We have others as grandparents who have raised or helped to raise their grandchildren. But for many here, being part of a foster care program or being part of an adoptive family is not viable, not possible. But we can, however, provide support and encouragement and strength and prayer for those who do. Those who can't do that have a golden opportunity. We are very fortunate here in Springfield to have on our doorstep a place like Fairhaven Children's Home. And many here have been involved directly or indirectly in fundraisers, and we have a number of our members who work at Thrift Haven to help raise funds for that children's home. And I know many of you have provided acts of service and care, and as the Treats have done, been foster parents. There are others here who've been foster parents out at Fairhaven Children's Home. Opportunities right here in our own community to be of service in this way. According to James, God accepts all such acts of love and service as religion that is pure and faultless in His eyes. This process with the La Crosse family has been going on for quite some time. There have been some hairpin turns, and there have been some anxious moments along the way, and I've been in their Sunday school class on more than one occasion when they ask for special prayers. And when Jeff and Elena ask for special prayers on behalf of these three young people and this family. And only recently have we come down to the point where things are solid and sure looking. And so we want to provide support as a church family for these five now, soon to be six, but these five. And we want to have them come up. And let me just mention that in case you don't know. God has now created this wonderful family together of the La Crosses. And the icing on the cake is that no sooner had they gotten all this put together than Amanda turns up pregnant. And she is due on February the 13th, and they are going to have a little girl. And what a wonderful family that this fortunate little baby is about to be born into, with a big brother who's going to watch after her and take care of her, and two big sisters who can do that. And what a blessing this is for all of them. Right now, one of our elders, Irvin Dock, is going to come and share some things, and then we'll have a special prayer.
I can't imagine not having children. Stetter and I have two. We lost one. But we have two, seven grandchildren. And some of you can relate to not having children. But it wasn't that long ago, back in the spring, that Chris and Amanda, along with Shaylin and Jasmine and Isaac, it's really Isaac John, came down to Roaring River State Park and spent a day with us. And they played in the water, and we ate together, and we even prayed together. And they were in the discussion, at least, that I had with them at one point, talked about this long journey of not having children. And they talked about the things that they had done. They had prayed and prayed and prayed, and all the things that you do. Some of us pray for health, some of us pray for children, but we pray. And it seemed that God wasn't answering, but He really was. He was saying, not yet. I've got something special in mind. Not yet. And while we were there, I think it was Chris that said, we've got a secret. Maybe it was Amanda, but one of them, we've got a secret. And that secret is the fourth child that was kept for a long time. I'm surprised these kids could do it. They are tough. But that day was a time when they had the kids for a weekend. That's the way it went. They got them for a weekend, not back for a weekend. Long trip. And there were bumps in the road. There were some real hairpin turns. And the bottom line is, God answers prayer. And I want to say to Chris and Amanda, He chose you for these kids. That's a simple fact. He chose you. And there couldn't be a better choice. Because I've been able to watch this couple as they moved to Springfield from Arizona and see them grow spiritually. I've seen them have some low points, but I've seen the spiritual growth. But there's a part of the story also that you need to know. Because as God chose them, these kids chose Chris and Amanda. They had choices. There were two parents involved, two sets of parents involved in this. And the kids knew that there were two families that would like to have them. They didn't have a chance to meet them, if I remember right. But they told the children about the families. And one of the things the children picked up on was they go to church. And that was important to these children. They chose Chris and Amanda to be their parent. And you can't get any better than that, folks. Now, I'm watching Grandma over there because I saw them all taking Kleenex over there a little while ago. It's times like this and that a church has to pause for a moment and say, you know, what is it that's important? We're going to be able to see four children grow up. Shaylin is in our sixth grade class. Jasmine's in our fifth grade. And Isaac John is in our second grade. Got it right, John? Isaac, second grade. And you just need to be downstairs when they come bouncing down the hall there heading to class. You talk about smiles on faces. They love coming to church. Chris and Amanda, I want you to come up. Shaylin, Jasmine, Isaac, and Grandma Sandy, I want you to come up too. She's part of this. And would the shepherds that are here tonight come up, come over here with me, and let's get with this family. We want to say to you as a family that this eldership and this church cares about you. We love you. We're here for you spiritually, emotionally, any way that you need us. We're here. And I want to say to you, Chris and Amanda, something very personal. Thank you, Will. The last camp out that your daddy was at, he talked about his three daughters. And he said that, I'm hoping with Chris and Amanda moving here, things will change. And they'll be able to have a family. And hon, tonight, Daddy is turning somersaults. He is so proud of this family. And we are too. Let's pray. Father, you answer prayer. Sometimes we get impatient waiting. Sometimes we question. But Father, this is a case tonight where prayer continued and kept asking and prayer continued and you answered. And you gave Chris and Amanda these three children and then answered again and said, we're going to give you another one. And Father, we ask you to bless this family. We ask you to bless each of these children, Shaylin, Jasmine, and Isaac. We ask that they would be children that would love their parents. We ask that they would be obedient children. We pray especially for Chris to be the head of this house, the Christian father that leads this family, because that is your expectation. And for Amanda, Father, we ask you to bless her as she goes through this birth in the next few weeks. We pray for her safety and the baby's safety. We pray, Father, that as a family, that she will be the mother that you want her to be to these children. And Father, may we as a congregation be supportive. May we love them, hold them, embrace them. And Father, just thank you for answered prayer and for your son. And Father, we pray this through his name. Amen.
In just a moment, you're all going to have an opportunity to offer hugs to this family because we have all kinds of goodies prepared down the hall, and we're going to have a party, and we're going to celebrate with this family. So we're grateful to God for that. As we close tonight, you know, the truth is that there's not a single one of us here who is a Christian who has not gone through an adoption process. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul wrote, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Later on in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul describes this adoption process into the family of God in these words. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood." It's no secret that anyone who goes through an adoption process has a financial burden attached to it. It's an expensive process, but I can tell you this, that there is no adoption that has ever occurred in the history of the world that was more expensive than the adoption that we have undertaken through the price of the cross. Because He gave His own lifeblood, you and I can be called the children of God. Tonight, if there's anyone here who is not a child of God, we would encourage you to take that step of faith. If you need prayers tonight, we'll pause and pray for you as we did this morning. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.